Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network on this Monday, January the 13th. I'm Tim Wildman, and it's a live radio program you've tuned in to. Ed Vitagliano joins me to co-host today. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Happy Monday to you.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Mondays are not usually my best.
Something in the air?
I just read the new Joel Osteen book, though, Your Monday Can Be Like a Friday. And so...
Is that right?
Yeah. So
wow.
It feels like a Friday to me for some reason. I just completely made that up.
I know you just made that up because I don't think Joel wrote a book with that, with that title.
My attitude used to be, come on, Joel, every day's a Monday. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it.
Well, he wrote it, but he did write a book, something about every day's...
Like a Friday or something.
Okay.
Something like that.
Sort of an attitude towards life type thing.
And which is good.
What's on page 57, Ed? Do you have any idea?
No, I've never read it. But I mean, let me just say that is, for the Joel Osteen fans out there,
That
is a good attitude. It's important to have a good attitude.
Good attitude toward life. How you doing, Fred Jackson? Do you have a good attitude?
I have a wonderful
attitude.
What's
today like to you?
What's today like
this
to me?
Monday?
Like a Tuesday?
I'm just so happy to come back to work on Mondays, you know.
A liar.
You know, I philosophize. Can you do that?
You philosophize?
I don't even know, but I think you can philosophize that. I don't think you can, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. I've never heard that word until I used it.
Why shouldn't you invent a new word? If people can change their gender and a... Like that?
I'm feeling creative, Ed.
Yeah.
I'm feeling
Make up
it.
A word.
I just made up a word. Who's to say that can't be added to the Scrabble game? Who's to say?
I've heard other words.
Anyway, you've got to have Monday to appreciate Friday,
there
right?
There you go. I like it.
All right. So you got to have something to contrast it with. All right, folks. Hope you're having a great Monday, as I hope you had a great Sunday. Not every day is great. We all know that, but we won't get into... that, except to say today is a very bad day to be a Houston Texans fan.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I'm sorry I had to say
that's
that.
That's bringing them down right there.
Fred, you don't follow the NFL much, do you?
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, Houston Texas NFL team is winning over Kansas City Chiefs 24-0.
In a playoff game.
In the second quarter. Fred, let me put this in hockey perspective, Fred.
All right.
You got three periods in hockey, right?
That's right.
And the middle of the second period, if this were a hockey game,
yep.
Yes.
It would be the Chicago Red Wings.
Oh, Tim.
I'm sorry. Chicago Blackhawks.
Thank you.
My apologies. That was embarrassing. Your Chicago Blackhawks would be beating the Detroit Red Wings.
Or Boston.
Or Boston Bruins 6-0.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you lose.
And you lose.
And you lose 12-7.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And that's when you fire the coach on Monday morning.
I do think this was – Kansas City Chiefs scored 7 touchdowns in a row yesterday, almost 8.
Wow.
I got to attribute this solely to divine intervention. I think God was on the side of Kansas City, and there was nothing Houston could do about it.
I'm pretty sure that's the way Ray Pritchard is thinking.
He
told somebody.
Yeah. Steve Jordahl.
Told Steve Jordahl. He said, "Speak up for me on the show," and Steve probably will when he comes on for his segment because Ray won't come on until tomorrow. He wanted to mention.
There are
today.
Some things that can be explained by cause and effect, and maybe even natural law.
Right.
But then there are some things you have to say God has stepped in to space and time, and I think God has
That was extraordinary.
Kansas City fan. All right, Fred, bring us back down to earth here.
Down to earth. Remember late last week, I think it was last Thursday, we played about 5 minutes of the Iranian woman who is now an American.
Yes, that was powerful, and that is still on our Facebook page.
That's good, because one of the things that she said, and she the whole thrust of that 5 minutes was, wake up, American people. It was a good thing that Donald Trump had Soleimani taken out, the terrorist leader general from Iran. And she told us, you may not believe this, but it doesn't matter. Here's the truth. Many in Iran are happy he's gone too, because he was a mass murderer of his own people.
Right.
So with that in mind, and then a development on the weekend where the Iranians finally admitted to what everybody knew, that they had shot down, one of their missiles shot down that Ukrainian aircraft. What happens in the wake of all of that, you have a huge protest, Iranians on the streets yesterday, protesting their own government. They want change. I'm going to play you a little bit. This is cut 7 of what this sounded like. Now, you can't understand, but that kind of paints it for you there. And unlike here in America, when you have protesters out, the protesters here don't worry about their lives being taken. But when you protest in Iran against the mullahs, you are taking your own life in your hands. And to that point, some of the Iranian military people started shooting back at these protesters.
Military people, that's a nice way of saying they're secret police, Fred.
Secret police, yes.
They're secret police, and sometimes not so secret.
Mm-hmm.
They are the enforcers for the Iranian mm-hmm. mullahs.
Yes.
If I can frame this, folks, and this is a very serious moment, what's going on in the world in today, and in particular in Iran, but we've seen what's going on in Hong Kong. Let me lay this out real quickly, and you add to or correct me if I misspeak. President Trump took out this mass murderer.
Yes.
Soleimani.
Yes.
He was hated among a lot of American Iranian people because he carried out the interrogations and the torture to enforce the mullah's totalitarian regime inside Iran.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
When President Trump authorized that, now the Iranian government, the mullahs, they shot down this Ukraine plane, Ukrainian airplane. They had almost 100 Iranians on there. They had Canadians on there, dozens and dozens.
63 Canadians
on there. It was an international story. They shot it down. Hundreds of innocent people lost their lives. Well, their families were affected. There is protest growing in Iran against the totalitarian police state there. And President Trump is commending those the Iranians. The Iranians basically are saying, our fight is not with Donald Trump or America. Our fight with our own brutal regime over here, okay? So now President Trump is tweeting support for the Iranian people who are rising up and the students, and he's calling attention to the mullahs and what's going to happen over there. The Democrats don't know what to do with this. Well, they do know. They need to try their best to ignore it, because if you have an uprising in Iran, a significant uprising like they had a few years ago, of people longing for freedom and human rights and to get out from under the boot of these mullah religious Islamic leaders, then it reflects positively on President Trump's leadership. So the Democrats are politically speaking, are torn, okay? They're not saying anything about what's going on in Iran right now. I've just read, 12:54 a.m. I just read a tweet from somebody saying they're going through the Democrat candidate's social media and they're not saying anything about what's going on in Iran.
No.
So they're having to, this is really pathetic and shameful on their part, but the Democrats are having to say, we don't want to say anything to support the people in Iran who are for freedom, because they're going to, because then it's going to look good for President Trump, helping him gain an advantage over us in November, and we can't do that, so we need to ignore the people who are for freedom in Iran, or say that they're not really standing up for what we think they're standing up for. Anything about what I just said unfair?
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's unfair, because how else do you explain the silence on the part of the Democrats if they're really in favor of liberty and against totalitarian regimes? They would have spoken out and supported.
But what if they're really not?
Well, I don't. I think they put politics ahead of their principles, at least in this case. The president over the weekend tweeted more than once, of course, but twice in regard to the protests. One was in Farsi, okay, which is the language of the people of Iran. This is what the president said in his tweet. We have no enmity with the people of Iran, but we do despise the Islamist Iranian theocratic regime, which is a totalitarian regime. They've had that country for 41 years, shrouded, totally suffocated in oppression since then, and I think we're seeing that veil coming off. Here's what President Trump tweeted in English. To the brave, long-suffering people of Iran, I've stood with you since the beginning of my presidency, and my administration will continue to stand with you. We are following your protest closely and are inspired by your courage. Wow.
Yeah.
That is what you say to the people when you are differentiating between what those people believe and what they stand for, and what the leaders of the country stand for and what they're doing. And the president came out and said, we support you, we stand with you, we are inspired by your courage. And the Democrats saying Zippo. I think now, I do think that Joe Biden said something.
And one of the other presidents.
Amy Klobuchar, right. I think, said something.
They're the two who have said
that
people in Iran should have a right to peacefully protest. But here's what Joe Biden said. He started with this. Trump's reckless policies have needlessly endangered our interest in the Middle East. I would say, no, they haven't. No, they haven't. They've actually encouraged those who seek freedom in Iran, what they've done. There's nothing reckless. Show me, what has President Trump done this reckless?
I'm not an expert on Iran, okay? Yeah. But I would say that these current protests are the direct result of the president killing Soleimani.
Yes.
The direct
sure they
result.
Are. That's what they're saying in Iran.
To your point, here's what's interesting. Over the weekend, you had a bunch of Democrats and their supporters, people like Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and media types like George Stephanopoulos and Chuck Todd on there. Here's what they wanted to talk about. Did President Trump really have the right to take out Soleimani? Did he really have the right? Did he really have good reasons? Well, I would say to the Iranian people who knew what this man did in Iran, and to the fact that he killed over 600 U.S. soldiers, this guy, and his associates, they didn't need any more reasons to take him out. Now, there was reference to that he was an imminent threat to some of the U.S. embassies. We're not clear on that yet. But what Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi wanted to talk about, maybe the president didn't have the right to take out this mass murderer, including of U.S. soldiers. Now, I'm going to play you a little bit of this. I mentioned you're going to hear the voice of Adam Schiff, George Stephanopoulos, former
Clinton.
Bill Clinton mouthpiece, now working for ABC News, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Todd, Tom Steyer, and David French. All of those are anti-Trumpers, including the media types. Listen to this, what we call a montage, and right after it, you're going to hear from conservative analyst Dan Bongino responding to what these anti-Trumpers had to say. Cut number one.
He is fudging the intelligence. They are overstating and exaggerating what the intelligence shows.
Do you think the administration has been straight with the American people about the reasons for taking out General Soleimani?
I don't think the administration has been straight with the Congress of the United States.
It was a very vague explanations that we got from various officials.
Yes, I think that was a dramatic mistake.
When we're on the knife's edge of a larger conflict, which requires public support, he's more interested in owning the libs than uniting the country.
Soleimani was involved in ethnic cleansing, mass murder, and terrorism. I'm being candid when I tell you this. You know, I sincerely don't get the calculus here. So if you're in a newsroom or you're a Democrat, this is probably one of those times where we should at least give Donald Trump, the United States, the American government, the benefit of the doubt based on the goal and the end game, which was killing this terrorist. And the imminent threat was Soleimani having a pulse.
That's Dan Bongino.
That's Dan Bongino. But he's exactly right. They hate Donald Trump so much.
You know what? This could be. I'm not saying it is. This could be a catastrophic miscalculation on the part of the Democrats. If these protests were to lead to the overthrow of that regime in Iran, and that became a free country, and these Democrats are on record. I want to quote from you. This is a woman, Quanta Ahmed, who's a Muslim scholar. She was interviewed on one of the Fox shows. She says, now she's a Muslim. She says this, quote, "I do think this regime, for the first time ever, is seriously threatened. People are saying the United States," talking about the people of Iran, "people are saying the United States is not our enemy. Our regime is our enemy. Our enemy is not here in the U.S. It is here where we are in Tehran." And that kind of explicit speech I've never encountered is what this woman, this Muslim scholar, is saying. If this brutal dictatorship were to be overthrown in Iran and the Democrats are doing this, playing politics with this, this could be a catastrophic miscalculation for them.
Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, was asked on, I guess, ABC this week yesterday about the protests going on by the citizens in, or the subjects, I guess I should say, in Iran. Those who, and of course, they're having protests in response to the murder of their own people by their own regime in the airplane that was brought down, and also in yearning for freedom and human rights, and especially for women's rights, which they don't have at all in Iran. And Nancy Pelosi, all she could say yesterday was that there are, quote, different reasons why people are in the street in Iran. Again, Trump derangement syndrome. Mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi's going, "I cannot give any credence to what's happening in Iran being a result of President Trump's leadership. So I've got to deflect." How do I deflect? I'll just say there are many reasons. Maybe there's, maybe we've got some bad eggs at the grocery stores in Iran. Maybe that's a reason that they're out. You don't know why all the reasons that they're out. In other words, she's not wanting to acknowledge the reasons that these protesters are out.
Hey, Fred, you know about this, the flags that are out there painted where they usually protest. Tell our listeners about what's happening over the weekend.
Yeah, a very powerful video. Part of these protests was at the university. I think, Tim, we were talking about this morning. And they have an American flag and Israeli flag painted on a square, on cement, I assume it is. And the norm, the desire is that people walk over those flags, because we know the mullahs, they hate Israel, they hate the Jewish people, they want Israel wiped off the face of the earth.
And the great Satan. We're the great Satan.
We are the great Satan. So the video shows this. These protesters, the pro-American, I'm going to call them pro-American protesters, they are walking around these flags that are painted on the ground. In other words, they're not going to walk on them in a show of disrespect. They're walking around them.
It's really phenomenal to go and watch this.
It is. And there are a few people who are walking on the flags, and the translators say what these protesters are saying to these people, "Shame on you for walking on the American flag and the Israeli flag." Now, this is happening in Iran in the last several hours. This is the extent of this protest. Despite the fact that they know that they may be punished severely by the mullahs, they are willing to do this on camera.
Yeah.
I mean, that shows the crowd purposefully
yes.
around the flags and not walking
yes.
the majority of them. I mean, just it's stunning what we see happening over there.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Fred. If you would like to follow us online or watch the show live, go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues. Go into Facebook and YouTube and type in Today's Issues. You know, the interesting thing is President Trump is open about his support of those yearning for freedom in Iran. Wasn't it 3 or 4 years ago? Or five or six years ago, maybe. Remember when they had the uprising in Iran? I mean,
it was 2010, 2011.
Hundreds of thousands of people rose up in Iran against the mullahs. And if I remember correctly, President Obama had nary a word of support for these folks. Huh?
That is true.
Do you remember that? It was an outrage.
Yes. That was right after there was 2008, 2009, somewhere in there to 2010 was what they called the Arab Spring. And that was followed a year or so later by this uprising, these protests in Iran. And everyone kept thinking and saying, what is President Obama going to do? Is he going to encourage them? And I'm telling you,
President Trump was silent.
He was awful.
President
Trump, this, I understand people's reluctance, Christians' reluctance sometimes to say, yeah, I love President Trump because he can be abrasive. But this man has got extraordinary instincts.
Yes.
I mean, he really does. He sees what's happening, and he is not afraid to stand up. It's like when he moved the embassy to Jerusalem in Israel. It's like everyone said, it's going to start a war, a conflict.
Right.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Because
right.
this man has the courage of his convictions, and the very thing that sometimes makes people go, wow, did he really say that? The fact that he's a street fighting New York City, you know, a builder and entrepreneur, whatever. That's the very thing that makes him stand up for the Iranian people when a polished politician, Barack Obama, wouldn't do it.
Well, here's the other thing. President Trump is batting 1,000. You just stop and think about his policies. Everything that he has done for the economy.
Right.
The economy, what the Dow Jones went over 29,000 last week.
Is that the first time ever?
It's a new record.
New record.
It's a new record every week.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10,000 point increase in the Dow Jones. Unemployment, the lowest it's been in decades.
Including in the Black and Hispanic communities.
Including in the Black Hispanic community. And women. More women employed. So he's doing everything right. The wall. I would challenge our listeners. When's the last time you heard a wall story on ABC, CBS, or NBC? I'll tell you why. Because they've just completed another 100 miles of that wall. And they just came out with the percentages in the last few days. It is unbelievable what is happening at our border. People are not heading towards the border anymore to try to break the law and enter our country illegally.
Well, they had to keep them. Is it the keep them in Mexico rule or some policy or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Exactly. This is what's happening. He's successful on the wall. He's successful in the economy.
Judges.
Foreign policy. Judges.
Yeah, it's.
And they hate him for it.
And if he completes this trade deal, phase one, this trade deal with China.
Yes.
I mean, you're going to see the economy expand even more.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, though, the Democrats are going to bring it, and just get ready because Bernie is leading the pack, and he's going to bring socialism and communism before the American people, and we'll see who wins. We'll see who wins this one. We'll be back in a moment.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek.
Why do we think Jesus is God? Why do we think he said he was God? It doesn't seem like he came out so overtly and said it in such plain language as I am God, worship me. Why not?
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
The Hand of Providence. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. That's what George Washington, the father of our country, called God's work in our country, the hand of providence. It is amazing and astounding, the stories that go on and on and on about how the Lord intervened to create the United States of America as a very special place on the globe. We're going to see all this history, as much as we can at least, in Jamestown, Yorktown, and Williamsburg. That's in Virginia. And then we're also going to Washington, D.C., and George Washington's Mount Vernon estate. We're going to do this in June and September, and you can join us by finding out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com, and we hope to see you then.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My name is Dr. Andrew Fabich, and I teach microbiology here at Drew McConnell University. And so instead of trying to teach biology from this perspective that gives you this goo-to-you version of evolution, you get this perspective of this is who God is, this is who God has revealed himself to be, and he's revealed himself in nature, which is terribly exciting to study.
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Golden Globe host Ricky Gervais deserves the Presidential Medal of Freedom, folks, after he called out Hollywood's most famous virtue signalers for being a bunch of drunks, criminals, deviants, and high school dropouts.
If you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
As you might imagine, the crowd was stunned, and so was I. It's not every day someone puts the Hollywood crowd in their place. Mr. Gervais said what needed to be said, folks. He spoke on behalf of a grateful nation. Well done, sir. Years from now, when they're teaching a class on how to speak truth to power, let's hope the professor shows the class the opening monologue of the 2020 Golden Globe Awards. I posted the entire monologue on my website, toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, President Trump has tweeted earlier, was it earlier this morning? The picture, the meme?
I'm not sure when that was tweeted. I guess sometime since yesterday. It must have been overnight. Yeah,
President Trump has tweeted a meme. A meme is a made-up picture meant to communicate a message, often satirically. Have I got that right?
Yeah, sometimes it'll have words on it, sometimes it won't. But
so if you go to President Trump's Twitter account, we've been talking about how the Democrats are silent on the Iranian freedom movement. In response, their anger, the Iranian people's anger at their own regime for torturing their family members, killing their family members, murdering people in Iran. This has been building for a long time. And the Democrats don't know how to respond because they don't want to come out in any way praising those folks and it reflecting positively on President Trump's leadership on this whole issue of Iran. So they're perplexed on what to do here. But President Trump tweeted a meme with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in Iranian religious garb. Would that be fair to say?
Yes.
And what did he say there? He said they're not saying they're siding with the mullahs.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. I can't.
I had it a while ago. Just type in President Trump's tweet. Go ahead, Fred. If you need to. Here we go. Hold on. Go ahead, Fred. Hold on, Fred. Go ahead, Fred. Hold on, Fred. Go ahead, Fred. Hold on, Fred. No. If you go to President Trump's tweet page, he's got it. Where is it? It was up here a while ago. Maybe I missed it. Anyway, did he take it down?
Oh, I doubt he took it down.
Well, anyway, go ahead, Fred. I'll find it.
Well, Nancy Pelosi, along with criticizing the president's taking out of the masked murderer from Iran yesterday when she was interviewed on ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos, he was talking to her about the impeachment trial. Now, she says she's going to give the articles of impeachment sometime this week to the Senate, and we'll go from there. But to me, I want you to listen to how she responded to this question, because I think she's already trying to frame her failure to get any success in the Senate when it goes there for trial. This is cut number three.
But again, it's Sunday morning. Let's be optimistic about the future, a future that will not have Donald Trump in the White House. One way or another, 10 months from now, we will have an election if we don't have him removed sooner. But again, he will be impeached forever.
He will be impeached forever. Well, the way the history books, if history will be written accurately, is he was impeached by the Democrats. He wasn't impeached by the House. Now, what do you mean by that? He was impeached by only Democrats and not all Democrats. Not a Republican voted. The kangaroo court, what lasted 2 months? The so-called investigation run by Adam Schiff. So the reason he found Trump finds himself impeached is because the Democrats held the majority in the House. That's the bottom line in all of this. But there you have it. He'll be impeached forever.
Yeah, and by the way, that's a good point. And I think, Tim, you might have mentioned this in our story meeting. The only reason why he's impeached is because the Democrats controlled the House.
Yes.
That's it.
There's
nothing bipartisan about that vote. It was just straight partisan. Democrat v. Republican.
Yeah.
By the way, the meme I was talking about, I found it under President Trump tweets. So I'm assuming this is President Trump's.
So explain to us what it shows again.
Well, it shows a.
Oh.
it shows a picture of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Chuck Schumer has a turban, a Persian turban, on his turban. Is that what you call it?
Sure. Yeah.
On his head, Nancy Pelosi has on a burqa, basically, and it says. President Donald Trump retweeted this. He didn't come up with this. He retweeted this. He retweeted this meme, and the meme says, "The corrupted Dems trying their best to come to the Ayatollah's rescue." Presidential candidate Joe Biden has called what President Trump did by taking out Soleimani as reckless. That's his view. It was reckless on the part of the president.
Now, we mentioned last week, what do you think Joe Biden and the rest of the Democrats would be saying if Trump had not released the military to take out Soleimani? And then while he was in Baghdad, he planned the deaths of more Americans or kidnapped diplomats and held them hostage. Then they'd be saying Trump did nothing.
Mm-hmm. Trump had him and did nothing. He can't pull the trigger.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It's that's exactly what they would be doing. Let's talk for a moment about the field of candidates that the Democrats have left, because they are down to five.
It's an all-star team.
Yeah, in AAA. if they're playing AAA ball, it's an all-star team. They have a list of five candidates that have qualified for the debate. Is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, yes.
America waits for the Democrat debate tomorrow night. I tell you what is, guys, I got to just, can I share my heart?
I would, Tim. Yes.
Can I share my heart, Fred? Do you mind?
Go ahead.
I am deeply troubled course, I'm going to watch the football national championship tonight, so I'm not troubled about that. But tomorrow night on the stage in, is it San Francisco? Where are they having this Democrat debate tomorrow night?
Checking.
Well, I'll tell you what.
This says another debate in Iowa, Democrats.
They're in Iowa. Well, I tell you what saddens my heart, and that is we're going to have no people of color on the stage tomorrow. We're going to have, one or two women, right? Elizabeth Warren and Amy.
Were you saying they're barely going to have women? Is that what you said?
Well, I should say, two out of the five will be
barely any.
Well, at least they're self-identifying, I think, at this point as women. But five whiteys on stage. Is that white privilege to me? Is that what the Democrat Party's come to?
That sounds like white privilege to me. By the way, breaking news: Cory Booker suspends his presidential campaign.
So Cory Booker—that's
a shock.
Yeah,
Cory Booker is going to be being shut out, and I want to know the reason. Is it because
you think the Democrats are a racist?
He's a person
party?
Of color. You tell me. I find it coincidental that there's only five white people left at the top of the Democrat ticket.
Well, I think that's because the Democratic Party. Now, folks, this is all tongue in cheek, okay? But the Democratic Party supports white privilege. Apparently.
How else do you explain this? Shut out.
Yeah.
Well, now, they do have an American Indian.
Barely.
Elizabeth Warren. Now, that's the barely part right there.
So I guess I should take that back. They do have one person of, quote, of color.
Right.
Well, self-described.
Well, are you doubting
so you're poking fun at the Democrats who are always accusing the Republicans, and especially President Trump, of white supremacy and white
privilege.
Can
you imagine if we had a Republican debate going on today and it was whittled down to five white people? Mm. What the Democrats would be saying about the Republican Party. Okay? I just think it's hilarious because They don't really have an answer for this other than may the best man win. Well, that's what the Republicans say. May the best man win. Of course,
best person.
But the Democrats will argue that they do have some diversity on this stage.
How's that?
They have left. They have far left.
They communist.
Extreme left.
Socialist and then communist.
Full on communist.
And then they have gay.
That's right. There you go.
Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah. I tell you what, things could change. A lot could happen between now and November. We all know that, especially in politics. But as it stands right now, I can't find anyone. Even poor Bruce Springsteen is saying the Democrats got no one that can beat Trump.
Is that right?
He's a huge lefty. You know, he said there's none of the Democrats can beat President Trump.
But I think another story that's going to develop before too long is the fight involving Bernie Sanders. You remember the story? I brought it in last week. The establishment Democrats, Joe Biden, the Clinton people.
Obama's folks,
they do not want Bernie Sanders.
No. They're trying to squash him before he ever gets to the top.
Already.
And their hope is Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And as I've said before, Joe Biden, if I can use an expression we use here in the South, bless his heart. That guy needs a family intervention to get him out of this race. I say that because, I mean, he is making fundamental, basic speaking errors on a regular basis.
Let me read you one just from this past weekend. Here's the quote from Joe Biden. See if you can pick up on this. Joe Biden said, Iran's parliament voted to eject all Americans and coalition forces from the country.
Yeah,
what's wrong with that statement?
Iraq's parliament.
You got the country
wrong. It's the wrong country.
And the wrong parliament. Now let me just
say this.
They
don't have a parliament in Iran.
Let me just say this. If this had been his only speaking error, yes. I would say, okay, so the guy was speaking a lot.
He stayed up to 2 in the morning.
Misspoke, okay, but this is a regular thing with him.
Oh, what was it? A few weeks ago, he didn't know whether he was in Iowa or Ohio. He said something about he was speaking in Iowa, and he was saying how he kept on and on about being in Ohio.
Yeah. And as the primary season
happens many, many times.
Intensifies, you're going to see more and more mistakes. And that is going to leave the impression that, as the president has said about Joe Biden, he's lost his fastball.
Yeah.
And if that's your top threat.
I think that's why Obama hasn't endorsed him. Obama conspicuously has not endorsed his own vice president of 8 years.
Right.
Biden served Obama faithfully for 8 years, and he can't even get an endorsement from the former president for his presidential campaign.
And supposedly told Vice President Joe Biden, when he was discussing with President Obama about him running, President Obama said, Joe, you don't have to do this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is that supposed to mean? You don't have to do this.
They got nobody that can, at this time at least, again, that can challenge President Trump. Yes, they'll win California and New York. I'm talking about whoever the Democrats put up will win California and New York. They could put up, you know, a monkey, and they would win California and New York, probably Illinois too. But as we all know, what happened in 16 is President Trump pulled off a miracle. He pulled off a royal flush in all the swing states he won. Now, he barely won. He narrowly won. He won in a landslide in electoral college votes, but President Trump won. He was living a charmed life that night because he won Florida, mm-hmm. barely. He won North Carolina, barely. He won Ohio pretty handily.
Yes.
He won Pennsylvania and Michigan, mm-hmm. barely. But he did win them. All you got to do is win by one vote, and you get all the electoral college votes. Now, some people said, well, President Trump lost the popular vote by 3 million, so therefore that proves that the American people, quote, as a majority, didn't want President Trump. Well, I would just say Hillary Clinton won in the popular vote just because of California.
Yes.
Okay. Take California out of the mix. I think Trump won the popular vote. If you took California out of the mix. Now, Californians are still Americans, so you can't take them out of the mix. I'm just trying to give some perspective mm-hmm. to the vote. But as it stands now, the Democrat establishment, they don't want Bernie Sanders on the stage with Donald Trump. They don't want him as their candidate. There is a war going on between the establishment Democrats, by that I mean the Clinton machine, the Obama people, those kinds of folks, they want Biden. I don't know how long they'll stick with Biden. They might switch over to Mayor Pete or somebody because of the reasons we mentioned about Joe Biden's. but they don't want Bernie Sanders because he is a committed, avowed, whatever you might say about Bernie Sanders, the guy's a true believer.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. I give him credit for standing by his lifelong ideology. Now, I don't agree with it at all. It's terrible. It's bad for America. It's socialistic and
bad for whoever's living under it.
And communistic. It's basically the state controlling everything. I mean, it is. Am I right? It's just his philosophy on everything.
Yeah.
The government should. It's socialism.
Cuba. He would still believe in a capitalist system, but controlled. Heavily right. regulated by the government, and then taking away from the haves and giving.
But that is as even as liberal as some of America has become, that is not going to work for a presidential election yet.
Right.
And I think the Democrats realize that, and he's likely, should Bernie Sanders get the nomination, to drag down other people running. On the Democrat ticket, not the ticket, but the Democrat side. I'm talking about the House seats and the Senate and so forth and so on. So what do you got left? Biden's showing that he's not, he doesn't have the wherewithal mentally, I don't think. I'm not saying he's crazy by any means, and I'm just saying we all know what we hear and see, and you keep on making fundamental mistakes, forgetting where you are and stuff on a regular basis. So you got Biden. I don't think he could beat. Now, a year ago, I'd have said Biden can beat Trump. But since we've seen the way Biden has behaved, I would say, no, he can't. And they don't want, they got to find somebody else. Bernie Sanders is not the answer. Mayor Pete is Mayor Pete. He's not going to beat Donald Trump. No. Then you got Amy Klobuchar.
Klobuchar.
The senator from Wisconsin.
Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, she won't beat him. Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren's not going to beat President Trump in a one-on-one in those states that I mentioned, those swing states.
Listen, here, let me.
So who do they got?
Well, and let me just talk a little bit about the long-term danger for the Democratic Party. Everyone talks about the demographic problems, potential problems for Republicans going forward. But here's the long-term ideological danger for the Democratic Party. And that is if the Democrats put forward a socialist like Bernie Sanders or really Elizabeth Warren, very similar views, and they get beat handily by the president in this year's 2020 election, what you're going to have is the Democratic establishment, I think, stonewalling the socialist side, the socialist wing of their party, the AOC crowd, the Bernie Sanders crowd, the Elizabeth Warren crowd. You're going to have the Democratic establishment saying socialism is a recipe for disaster, and you could very well have a splintered Democratic Party going forward. Absolutely. Where the socialists say, fine, we'll start our own party, they split
that's
away.
That's true, Ed. You got a good point.
The AOC crowd is not going to compromise with the establishment.
No, the AOC, she's the female version of Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. She may be to the left of Bernie Sanders. I don't know. But they could split off.
Yes.
Because they view Biden, for example, as he's an establishment compromiser.
That's right.
Is what he is. It's kind of like the way, if for those of you who've been in Republican politics for a long time, it's much like the way the conservative versus the establishment is inside the Republican Party.
With the Tea Party, remember the Tea Party?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. So if the Democrat establishment decides to treat Bernie Sanders for a second time like the crazy uncle.
They got away with it in 2016 with Hillary Clinton.
Right.
They will not get away with it this time because Bernie's forces have grown.
Yes.
And he's got the squad with him. And AOC will not be a diplomat. Neither will Omar. Neither will Tlaib.
Right.
All members of the squad. They will go out there and they will speak loud against the Democratic Party establishment.
Listen, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is refusing to pay what they call the dues.
Party dues.
For the party dues for the Democratic Party. She says, I don't support them.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, I'm going to start my own PAC or super PAC. I'm not sure which one it was. And I'm going to bankroll challengers against Democratic incumbents.
Yep.
Okay, because the Democratic incumbents are too establishment. They're not far enough left. I'm putting it into into my words.
That's right.
And so this is like you said, Tim, these are true believers on the socialist left. Mm-hmm. And if they feel like, once again, the party establishment has cut them out, or that the party establishment refuses to go far enough left in the future, if they run from the socialist label, these people aren't going to play.
Nope.
They will start their own party.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, President Trump, I know, is licking his chops right now at the thought of running against any of these, any of these folks at on the Democrat side right now. Constitutionally, President Obama is forbidden from running again.
That's
right.
Right.
Because
some may be wondering, can they bring Obama back since he's been out 4 years?
No.
President Obama, I'm talking about. Michelle Obama would be a good option from a, just running against President Trump in a general election, but she's not interested. She doesn't have the political savvy she's not interested, Michelle Obama, in day-to-day, you know, national security briefings, okay? She's hanging out with Oprah. Huh. She's cruising the Mediterranean with George Clooney.
Yeah.
You know, and going to yoga class. I mean, it's and going, you know, so it's not, she's not interested in running for president. So I don't know who you got left besides Hillary Clinton.
Well, I made this prediction
that could be picked, that could be come up in the summer as a brokered convention's choice.
I've been one of those who thinks a brokered convention is very likely, and I was one of the ones that said, well, what if they brought Michelle Obama? Okay, but now I'm starting to think, what happens if you get to a brokered convention? By that I mean no single candidate has enough delegates to get the vote at the convention. Mm-hmm. I think now it's entirely possible that you'd have the socialists, like an Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, teaming up. If you have a couple of ballots and there's no clear winner, I could see Bernie Sanders saying, Elizabeth and I are going to run as presidential and vice presidential. We're pooling our delegates, and we're going to ask the convention to make us one and two, president and vice president. We're pooling our delegates, and now we will have enough votes if you vote for, if Bernie says, I'm asking Elizabeth's delegates to vote for me. I think you could see that.
Do you think it's a 50-50 in the Democrat Party at a convention like that? Do you think it would be 50-50? It was almost 50-50 last time. By 50-50, I mean 50-50 are establishment, more traditional Democrats, very liberal, but not commies,
right.
Socialist, like Bernie Sanders. Again, when we're saying these things about Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, folks, and Alexandria Cortez, Ocasio-Cortez, I'm trying to accurately describe them because this is the way they self-describe. Bernie
yes.
Sanders calls himself a Democrat.
And has for decades.
Yeah, so he's not embarrassed by Democrat socialist.
Right.
That's what he calls himself. By communist, I don't mean to suggest that these folks are for a totalitarian police state.
Right.
But they are for government taking over our lives in so many ways that they will tell you that's done to make your life better.
Right.
These Democrats, like Elizabeth Warren, like
yeah,
Bernie Sanders.
Trust us.
But I'm talking about within the Democrat Party, do you think it's 50-50 with the true believers in socialism versus those who say, no, we can't be open about this because it's going to kill us at the ballot box?
No, I think it is very close to 50-50, and here's a further problem for the Democrats, and that is after the 2016 debacle where Clinton outmaneuvered Bernie Sanders, mm-hmm. got those super delegates to come along for her, okay? They've changed all that. The Democrats have changed all that. Mm-hmm. Their primaries are no longer winner take all. So that means you split the delegates. That makes it harder for any one person to come out on top with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
Almost guaranteeing a brokered convention.
Ed, I think you got a point. We probably need to watch for a Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren team up, for example, in order to win the convention and go with Sanders or Warren.
I think Bernie says, I'll be president, she'll be vice president, I'll only serve one term, and then Elizabeth Warren will
there
be...
There you go.
Yeah.
That would be a likely... I could see that happening right there.
But that doesn't beat Donald Trump.
No, I don't think so. I'm thinking in terms of the future of the Democratic
right.
Party.
Yeah. Right, but they don't think that. They think that's a winning hand.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Fred.
Ah, you're welcome.
For joining us on the Tim and Ed Show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back in 5 minutes, folks.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.